Underlying problem is the abnormalities in the JAK-STAT signaling, and JAK-STAT signaling is very well characterized intercellular signaling pathway, so a cascade of proteins inside the cells that do different things to different cells, so depends where they are. And there are those enzymes that are associated, the JAK family members, there are four of them, that are associated with receptors for different cytokines or growth factors from inside the cells. And when cytokine or growth factor attaches to receptors, that would activate the JAK, and the JAK would activate the STAT, and the cells would do different things. But in the bone marrow, that leads to a production of red blood cells and platelets in particular, and some degree of increase in white cells as well. What is important is that specifically in the bone marrow, the JAK2, one of these four family members, is associated with the receptors for erythropoietin and thrombopoietin. So we depend on the JAK2 as an enzyme for making red blood cells and platelets. Now, in the disease state, we start to unravel the biology of the problem by identifying the JAK2V617F mutation in MPN in ETPV and myelofibrosis that leads to a lack of a need for a cytokine or growth factor to bind to receptor. The mutation makes this JAK-STAT pathway always active and results in overgrowth of the cells. Now, you would say, obviously, that might have been a cause for MPN, but it's not. I mean, obviously, why would one patient with JAK2 mutation develop ET and the other PV and the third one myelofibrosis when the same mutation is present in their cells? And now we know it's much more complicated. This is not the cause for the disease. It's one of the drivers of the disease existence and progression. And it's not present in everybody. That was actually the main issue at the beginning. It is not the cause. It's not present in everybody.
Could I just ask you, in terms of JAK-STAT signaling, I feel like I've heard something about that in some of the meetings we've done on checkpoint inhibitors and immune therapy. Is there a connection between these pathways?
It is a possibility because with the more experience with ruxolitinib, for example, we know that ruxolitinib affects the immune system in a recipient, in a patient. There is effect on NK cells and T cells, and the immune system is altered to some degree with ruxolitinib in myelofibrosis patients, and there is a possibility that immunocheckpoint inhibitors may have actually activity in myelofibrosis by unleashing the immune system to recognize malignant cells like it does in other conditions. There are studies, I'm aware of several studies with immunocheckpoint inhibitors in myelofibrosis to potentially work on that pathway of the combination between the two and possibly benefit the patients. We'll see. These are studies underway.
So what about JAK inhibitors?
So JAK inhibitors would inhibit the JAK-STAT pathway regardless of this mutation. And what they do is they bind to ATP binding site on the enzyme. ATP is the energy source. So energy needs to bind, obviously, to enzyme for enzyme to do something. Like with imatinib in BCR-ABL and chronic myeloid leukemia, where imatinib binds to ATP binding site on the BCR-ABL protein, the JAK inhibitors bind to ATP binding site of the JAK2, regardless of whether this is mutated or unmutated protein. So they would inhibit the growth of the cells, lower the platelets and red blood cells, and the spleen, and improve the symptoms because of anti-inflammatory and anti-proliferative effect that the JAK-STAT pathway is responsible for. But you would also have a degree of anemia and thrombocytopenia, and this is the balance in the clinic that we need to know about. And we need to know that it is about controlling of signs and symptoms. It's not about elimination. You do not really expect the elimination of the disease.